For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back racing this time, and I hope you have your alarm clock set and your coffee ready, because it's an early one for our European fans for the weekend down under. Welcome back to Formula Talk. My name is Sophia. Joining me today, as always, we have the lovely Tom Downey. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Prepping, getting ready for this weekend. Like I said, it's going to be a random time frame for us living in the UK. Technically, it's a Thursday to Saturday in Formula 3's case because of all the time differences. But it should be interesting to watch and see. Hopefully, you have your alarm clock set and coffee all prepped and ready for this weekend. So we are previewing this episode, which is round 2 of Formula 3 and round 3 of Formula 2, taking place in Melbourne, Australia. But before we get into this episode, we gotta thank our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on all the action. And make sure you're using our code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And also, make sure you're following us on all social channels at Grid Talk UK to stay up to date with this show and our sister show, Grid Talk. So, let's start with Formula 3. You can listen to our review episode of the first round that took place on opening weekend in Bahrain. But for this weekend, it is round 2. And we're back, as mentioned, kind of to normal Friday to Sunday. But again, the time difference, it feels like a Thursday to Saturday for us. For Formula 3 primarily, with I think one of the racing is like at 10 p.m. Like the feature race, I think is like 10 p.m. on Saturday instead. And a lot of them are like 1 a.m., 3 a.m., midnight. So it's going to be an all-nighter for all our European fans. So again, props to the Australian fans, Asian fans watching like all season long, because we complain about this only 2 to 3 times a year. And it is almost a constant basis for you guys to follow and watch the sport. So very much props to you guys doing that week in and week out, because I certainly could not imagine doing that. As always, free practice and qualifying takes place on the same day, sprint on day 2, and the feature full points on day 3. Qualifying will have the top 12 reverse for the sprint. Looking back from last year, which was the first year it was introduced into the F3 and F2 calendar, currently the track record is held by the 2023 F3 champion of Gabriel Bortolotto with a 1:33.025. The sprint race will have 20 laps, and then the feature will have 23 with the mandatory pit stop in force for the feature race. But looking at the results last year, Bortolotto, because he also has a track record, he did take pole with Gregor Sassi joining him on the front row. Last year's qualifying saw 2 red flags and pretty much a one-shot chance for the fastest time. Reverse pole was Sebastian Montoya alongside Oliver Guth. And then looking to the sprint race, there was a team disqualification. So it's still happening. Even it happened in 2023. It's happened already in 2024. But it was MP Motorsport that had all 3 of their drivers disqualified. Franco Colapinto was racing for them at the time and actually technically won the sprint. But because of the disqualification, Zach O'Sullivan was given the win. But the podium was O'Sullivan, Sebastian Montoya, and Paul Aron. In the future, it was a light to fly Bartoletto win, with Gregor Sarsi taking P2 and Gabriel Mini taking P3. Now, looking at the 2024 standings, Luke Brandon currently leads the championship with Tim Tramitz in P2 and Christian Mansell P3. But looking at the grid, and we'll do predictions very soon, there are 17 rookies on the grid. Some of them know this track because they've been racing in that kind of circuits. Some of them are Australian and New Zealand, so they know this track quite well, maybe. Tom, do you think you'll be a veteran taking the top or rookie surprising us like the first round?
We've got so many rookies in F2 this year. We've got what? I think it was 5 rookies or so. Or it might be, I can't remember. But you know, we've got a few come up from F3, obviously. Now, people have raced here before in F3 and all the rest of it, but the F2 cars are a step up. You know, they're much more powerful, obviously, with this new era of car. You know, it's going to be interesting. So I'm really not sure. You know, just sort of think back to last year. You know, like I said, you know, a couple of the drivers have gone up to F2. So it definitely sort of opens it up for a rookie to take the top spot. Whether they do, I don't know, because it's still fairly early on in the season. I think we'll get into predictions in a bit, but I think some of the rookies will surprise us, especially about that middle sector, you know, because it's fairly basically all flat out. And, you know, Albert Park now is a fairly sort of fast-flowing circuit. It could suit some of the F3 cars quite nicely, and certainly some of the drivers. But I don't know. We'll see. You know, I'd like to see Gabriel Mini sort of right up there. You know, he obviously had a good season initially last year, but then it, you know, tailed off a bit, and you know, he didn't have to finish as high as he wanted. Yeah, I think this year, during the season, I think we will see a non-rookie on, you know, sort of at the top. I think once you get into the European rounds, then we might see someone who's, you know, we might see an F3 rookie maybe on the top spot.
Definitely. I mean, looking at the standings, as mentioned, like Luke Browning, he is one of the veterans. He's currently leading only 25 points behind a rookie of 21, which is Tim. But yeah, like, it's literally looking at it, it's literally veteran, rookie, all the way down to pretty much P8. And then it's a lot of the rookies kind of taking it. But yeah, I kind of agree. I think it's definitely going to be a veteran looking at it. I think, as mentioned, when we go to the European circuits, I will see a lot of these rookies kind of taking top spots, because a lot of them race in Breca, Euro Formula, F4, and they know these tracks like the back of their hands better than some of these returning F3 drivers. But yeah, let's go with the predictions now. What is your pole, bold, and your podiums for both the sprint and feature for F3?
My pole, as in your qualifying pole, I'm gonna back Gabriel Mini. You know, I think, you know, like I said, especially after last season, you know, this season he's gonna be like, right, you know, I need to do something here, and you know, I'm gonna back him. Obviously we've only had one round so far this year. But no, I'm gonna back him. And I'm gonna say my sprint race podium, I'm going to back him from last week, and I'm going to slightly contradict what I just said, because I need all the points I can in the predictions. I'm going to say Arvid Lindblad, I hope I got his name right, I'm going to say he's going to win the sprints, and with him on the podium, we're going to see Fornaroli again. I'm going to say Tim Tramitz. I almost said Tim Tramitz then. I forget he's got the N in his name. He obviously, you know, because he did well last weekend. I'm gonna back him. You know, so there's a slight sort of contradiction there from what I said. For the feature race, I'm gonna say Mini is gonna get the win, and I'm gonna say Luke Browning in P2. I'm gonna back Lindblad again, and I'm gonna say it's gonna be a Prema double podium.
Okay, not too bad. And then, what is your bold prediction?
We don't get any red flags in any of the competitive sessions. So practice doesn't count.
But everything else.
Yeah, but qualifying, the sprint and feature race, no red flags. Safety cars, virtual safety cars, go nuts. Please don't. Mm-hmm. Yellow flags, go nuts. Double wave yellows, go absolutely wild. But no red flags.
Okay. Interesting, as mentioned, because obviously qualifying had 2 red flags to begin with. I don't believe there was any red flags in either the sprint or feature, though. So you might have some hope for that. Okay. I'm kind of similar to your predictions, but I'm going to change it a little bit. I think on pole, I think it's going to be Fuenaroli will take pole. In the sprint podium, I think it will be Sam. I really need to start pronouncing his name right. You're going to hear it quite often because he is actually a really good rookie. Mitunov, I believe. It's such a difficult last name for me at the moment. Give me a couple of rounds into the season and then I'll get it. Like, even sometimes hearing some of the commentators as well, which Chris and Alex Brunner and all of them, absolutely amazing. But yeah, there's a few roles trying to get used to some of these last names. I think he's going to be P2. And then I'm going to say Mari Boyer in P3. For the feature race, I think it'll be a late to flag win again. So I will say Fuenaroli will take the top spot. Christian Mansell, P2, Australian, will be nice to see for his home race. And then I'm going to do a rookie, and I'm actually going to say Laurens Van Hoppen to take P3. And my bold will be that the track record will be broken in qualifying in F3. So that, I mean...
That is bold.
Well, to be fair, and I will preface this, I will also make that my bold for F2 because there's a reason behind it. But yeah, if the best qualifying time, whoever's taking pole, which I'm going to say is Fuenaroli, they need to beat a 133.025. And I do think that is probably possible. And so I think they were quite timid last season, because obviously it's a new track and everything. So I think a veteran will go harder than the rookies and will push to the limit. And also, similar, hopefully you get your bold where there is no red flags in qualifying. I think they'll have more opportunities to push and probably beat the time. So that is my prediction. And I'm also going to back that and stake that onto Formula 2's one. But moving on to Formula 2, there's still no word yet as to if Ollie Bearman is racing in F2 or F1 this weekend. We are recording this episode on the 19th of March at 5:30 p.m. UK time. Carlos Sainz is in Melbourne, so he is there. So we still don't know. They've not announced what's going on. I know appendicitis could take 1 to 4 weeks of recovery time. Obviously, he had surgery and then the next day he was in the paddock walking around very gingerly, but still in the paddock. So who knows? Maybe he's had a good amount of recovery time and is ready to get back in. But Albert Park is one of the fastest tracks on the circuit. So I would like to see Ollie maybe back in. But obviously, those are crucial points he is losing in the F2 championship. And we discussed this last episode, the review episode, about how his 2 points that he received for pole got taken away and given to the second fastest time of Kushmaini, which we discuss it in depth a bit about how that was kind of unfair, given that he knew he couldn't race in the sprint in the feature, but he actually did participate in a race style round of qualifying. So like that 2 points could actually make the break for his championship. So yeah, I'm hoping he's racing in some, well, he definitely is racing in some capacity, let's be honest, but we don't know if it's F1 or F2. Looking back to last year's current track record is held by Urwasa. Now get this, it is actually slower than Formula 3's time. It is held by Urwasa and it's a 145.118. That is very interesting, and it could be due to the time of the day of the track development. There could have been other issues, but normally you won't see an F3 car have a faster time than an F2 car. And the fact that they're over 10 seconds a difference, that is kind of crazy to think about. Tom, what's your take on why the F2 record is slower than the F3 from last year?
I don't know. I know that's not great journalistic insight. I'm not sure. But it's odd. Nothing happened in, nothing happened, there were no serious incidents of note in F2 last year, not in qualifying anyway, not that I can really remember, to be honest. I'm just not sure.
F2 qualifying is the last thing on the track at the end of the day as well.
Yes, the only thing I can think is, obviously rubber would have been laid down by the sessions earlier in the day. However, maybe the track lost temperature because obviously, you know, it got towards evening, local time. But even so, I can't imagine it would slow down or the entire track would lose that much, time over a day, or, with a change in ambient temperature, because unless it dropped by like 10, 15 plus degrees, or, maybe even more than that. But, even then, I doubt it did because, it's Australia. It ain't going to be cold, So it's, I don't know.
So now you understand why I'm going to stake this as my bold as well for F2.
I do, yeah. But, it is a bit of an anomaly from last year.
It's the second time they've ever raced in Australia. So obviously they could have been very similar to others and be very gingerly on the track. Still push, but
yeah,
it's fast, that track. So hitting that barrier is obviously, we've seen multiple
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He kind of hits with that, so it could be that they were being very cautious in order to secure really good positions and potentially getting that 2 points, but who knows?
I really don't know. It's so odd. And we're not talking about like Ragunathan here, who was slower when he was trying. He was just slow. This was across the board F2, so then I think that's almost unheard of.
Just thinking off the top of my head as well, a lot of the track records are still kept from 2017, 2018, from the start of the series. Yeah, okay. So it'll be interesting. I might deep dive this on when we have a bit of a more of a break to kind of understand what's going on with, because it could obviously be the developments. Obviously, the cars, this is a new generation of F2 cars this season as well. So that's also why I think the times might be a lot quicker as well. They're using a hybrid. However, the tires are heavier pressure because they've not done fully the hybrid as they would like to due to, I think, technical timing. So the tire pressures are harder, but they were built for more of the hybrid engines, but the current engine is not the hybrid that they originally established that they wanted to do for the start of 2024. So there's a whole bunch of other data anomalies, big word for me, that could have some impacts of performance and timings for these drivers. So it should be interesting to see. But I'm starting off right off and I'm saying that's my bold. But we'll talk about the previous last year's racing. So Owasa took pole, obviously, with Table Chair on the front row. Dennis Hauger and Jack Crawford took the reverse front row for the sprint race. It is 23 laps for the sprint, 33 laps for the feature race with the mandatory pit stop again. Last year, two drivers did not even start the sprint due to spinning off prior to the race, and that was Ralph Walchamp and Enzo Fittipaldi. But looking at the podium for the sprint race, it was Hauger, Crawford, and Marni. It's very much a lights to fly track because it is quite narrow and there is not that many opportunities for overtaking. But in the future, all three drivers on the podium are no longer racing in F2, so it'll be interesting to see. Owasa took the top spot with Teo Pourchaire P2 and Leclerc taking P3. The highest returning driver for this season finished P5, and that is Zane Maloney. Looking at the 2024 current standings, Zane Maloney is leading the championship, followed by his former teammate of Enzo Fittipaldi in P2 and Dennis Hauger in P3. Now, an interesting one as well is we've had two drivers, obviously we mentioned this in depth in multiple episodes, skipping Formula 3, going straight into Formula 2. Kimi Antonelli and Josh Jackson have never raced on this track. they are technically the biggest rookies. Well, they are rookies, but like they are the biggest rookies because they've not raced at this track before. What do you think their strategy would probably be? Be the more cautious and try to get a maybe P9, P10 to start reverse pole, or are they trying to be in the middle of the pack or even try to push for the higher, but then how far is too much pushing and potentially risking being in a wall and not even participating in parts of the race?
I've got to be honest, I think with these, you know, these young drivers, they all want to win and they all want to get as high up on the grid as they can. I don't think they'll be thinking that much about, you know, oh, it's going to be reverse pole, or, you know, or if I finish here, it'll be, you know, I'll be sort of starting wherever. I think they're just gonna go for it. And until their engineers or you know their team principals and get on the radio to them and say, look, just calm it down, bring it home. You know, we've got to think about tomorrow. I think they'll like just go out and they'll just want to win, won't they? It's a racing driver's instinct. They want to win everything, and I have no doubt that they'll be pushing. I would hope, or what? Well, not hope. I would imagine. No, actually, I'm gonna say I would hope. I'm going to kind of just do a little backtrack there. I would hope that they'll be sensible enough. You know, they might get like a good slipstream into turn one and think, oh, actually, I can make a move. But then turn one's a fairly sort of tight braking zone. And you know, especially if you're trying to come up the inside, if you're trying to swoop around the outside, it's different. You can sort of hang it around. But, you know, it's just a race, whether it's a sprint or a feature, isn't won or lost at turn one unless it's Monaco. And it's, you know, that's one for the Monaco weekend. But, you know, it's, you know, Albert Park, you know, there should be plenty of chances to get by. You know, there's a big heavy brick is when it's turn four. You know, I would say it's fairly likely we'll have a yellow flag or a safety car, no red flag, so, or a safety car or something, you know. So Saturday might come into it as well. It's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking more like, because I see it as like a long-term being reserved, because if they push too hard, they could end up in the wall and then miss out on multiple points because they might not be able to fix the car in time for the sprint or even the feature race as well. So like those are crucial times where you're losing points. Obviously, we're seeing that with Ollie Bearman not racing in F2 last week, but never break really enough when it comes to the racing seasons anymore. So I don't know. I think they might try to be reserved. Obviously, Josh Jurgensen is okay. He doesn't have any. Yeah, he's one of the few drivers that has no points so far. He's one of the six out of the 22 drivers who do not have any points. So I think he's going to play it quite safe more than Kimi. Kimi's going to push. But obviously, Prema did not have the best season starting in Bahrain and kind of did a little bit of damage limitations in the previous round. And again, you can listen to that in our previous Formula Talk episodes, but I'm excited to see. Like, I think F2 will be probably more, well, both of them are going to be quite interesting to watch if I'm ever going to be awake and, or awake and paying attention, I should say. That's I might have it on, but I might be half asleep, because let's be honest, that happened to me last year a few times. Have it put on and then I just snooze. But yeah, so Tom, is that your bold as well for F2? Are you following the same as your F3 of no red and yellow flags, or are you going to change it?
But hang on. For F3, I did not say no red and yellow flags. I said no red flags.
Okay. So are you keeping that also for F2? Are you doing a similar to me where both bolds are the same thing for both series? Or are you going to change it?
I'm going to change it.
All right. And then what is your pole and your podiums as well?
Okay. So my bold prediction is no DNFs through accident damage in either of the races. Mechanical DNFs don't count, but I'm talking about collision damage. And if a collision then causes a mechanical issue like further down the line, that counts, because one would assume that the driver would have kept going, but that not happened. You know, had it then caused to like a gearbox or an engine,
the knock-on effect.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, if we say like within 5 laps, we'll say.
It's not that many laps. It's 20, 30, 30.
Yeah, exactly. So how confident you feel?
A quarter.
Yeah. No, my poll, I'm going to say, if Bearman is in F2, I think back in F2, I think he's going to get pole. If Bearman's not here, because if he is in F1, I'm going to say I'm going to say Zane Maloney. He's been on for, you know, he didn't have the best weekend in Saudi, but, you know, first weekend he was just exquisite. So it's, you know, he's done really well. As for my podiums for the sprint podium, I'm going to say Victor Martins is going to be third. I know, because he's had a rough start to the year. And I'm going to back him to, you know, sort of like, you know, just like get back up there. So he's going to be third in the sprint. And I think we're going to have Kushmaini P2. You could argue that's a bold one in itself. And I think, I would say Enzo Fittipaldi is going to continue what he had out in Saudi. I know he didn't win the sprint, but, you know, I know he won the feature race, but, you know, he's going to, you can see he's going to win the sprint in Australia. As for the feature race, if Behrmann is there, and I think he's going to get pole and he's going to win the feature race. If he's not there, I think Haugert will finish P1. I think Zane Maloney will finish P2, and I'm going to say Jack Crawford for P3. But if Behrmann is there, I would say it's going to be Behrmann P1, Haugert P2, Maloney P3.
Okay, so we should move down the order.
Yeah, but basically, yes. You know, so if you know, it's, I know it's a bit complex, but, you know, just it, because we don't know yet, you know, if Behrmann's in F1 or F2.
What should be announced tonight?
I know, this happens
all the time.
So, do you know what, mate? I'll go downstairs for dinner after this, and you'll say to me, and you'll say, have you seen the F2 announcement? And it'll be the Behrmann's full-time in-house as of next week or something. And just imagine.
I'm double checking my phone just in case if anything's even just been announced now, because
nothing's on it. Nothing's been announced. I've got my phone next. I mean, nothing has gone off. So, yeah. So, you know, so but mine is dependent on, you know, if Behrmann's in. So I've got a set of predictions either way there.
Okay. Not bad. And you made your bold. Okay. As mentioned, I'm sticking to the similar for F3 for my bold. I think the track record will be broken this time around. It should be, let's be honest. The question is, who's taking the pole? I think Zach O'Sullivan. Actually, no. Let me change that. I think Isaac Hajar will take the pole. So then in the sprint race, I think it'll be Crawford P1, Bortoletto P2, and Paul Aaron P3. In the feature race, I think Hajar will win. Be a pole to win. I think if Ollie Behrmann is racing, I don't think he will take P2. And I think Zach O'Sullivan will take P3, given the fact that he inherited the win last season in F3. So I would not count him out as a contender for that. But yeah, I mean, it's all dependent. Like I said, like Ollie Behrmann, if Ollie Behrmann isn't racing, Zach O'Sullivan will be P2. And then I say Zane Maloney P3. That's kind of my backing in case Behrmann does not take place in F2 this weekend, but it should be a good race. I'm kind of dreading it, but I'm excited for the early starts. It's going to prepare for Japan as well. Well, I mean, F2 and F3 aren't racing in that. They won't. This is the last race until middle of May, actually. So they have a month and a bit off to prep, and then back at Imola as well, which will be good. But prepares for me waking up early for F1's racing when we go racing in Japan and other time early time racing. But should be good. I'm excited. We got our predictions. We have previewed the round 2 for F3 and round 3 for F2 taking place in Melbourne, Australia, down under this weekend. Formula Talk Season 2, as mentioned, this is our second season. You can find us on YouTube where episodes are posted. Just search Formula Talk on YouTube to keep up with the 2024 season. If you've been listening to our podcast in previous episodes, you know that we are the sister show of Good Talk. You can find our back catalogs and also their episodes on YouTube. Just search Good Talk to find them. You can also find our podcast on Good Talk's catalog, which is found on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Good Talk to find all of our episodes. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And again, also make sure you subscribe or following us on any social media platforms to know when each new episode is released. We'll be back soon to review the Australian weekend and also discuss if anything new news taking place. We'll be back with plenty more content. Thank you, Tom, for joining me, as always.
No, thank you, as always, Sav.
And thank you very much for listening to Formula Talk, presented by Bet Online. Goodbye!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.